is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hey, man. How's it going? Long time no see.
I know. It's been a long time. Even though we have had episodes come out, it has been over a month since we recorded. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really weird. This is the holiday season, man.
Yeah, I messed up my weekend habits.
Yeah, usually we take off all of December, but I really wanted to get on here and finish out the Batman Ninja Turtles series that we did, because we just put out one, two, and I didn't want to end the year without doing three. I don't want to start the next year with three. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have OCD.
Whatever.
I got mental health issues, man. Maybe that's why we haven't recorded in a while.
Yeah, that definitely is a thing.
A lot of things have happened since the last time we recorded, like the strike ending. So that was a big deal. Congratulations to that, even though I've heard some mixed reactions to that.
Yeah, I feel like it's never everything, right? Like somebody, they're like, okay, this is better, but it's never everything that we need.
Yeah, and then there was some weird backdoor stuff with AI, which I'm not going to get into that because it's one of those complicated things that I don't know enough about to give an actual opinion on without sounding like a dumbass. So,
yeah, I don't know as far as like script writing and all that business. I will say that AI has gotten so convenient with stuff, you know, like with Photoshop. I don't really, like, ethically, I'm always a little foggy with it, but
yeah, you're torn between the artist in you and then like,
yeah,
I'm lazy.
I'm also like, but it took me 3 seconds to expand this picture rather than like cloning or finding a new pic, you know?
I'm going to let you know right now, any industry professionals that are listening to this show, if you received an email from me, the first one is probably going to be 1000% generated by AI. Like the follow up ones, probably not. But that first one is probably going to be legit. Like it'll be a brand new, I'm not using the same one copy and paste. I'll create a brand new one specifically for you, but it's going to be probably. It has made responding to emails so easy for me.
Yeah. ChatGPT, well, or whatever you use. ChatGPT is kind of funny, though, because it writes very much like someone writing a term paper where they're trying to fill up the word count.
Yeah. You can't just put it in there and then send it. You got to run through it and kind of give it your own flair for sure.
Yeah. It's just like, hey, it's nice to meet you. It is nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. It is. It's like, whoa, okay. You said the same thing popped up.
Yeah, you're a robot. Get it together. You're not a human. I got to add a couple of mistakes in there, like delete a comma that I was like, this guy doesn't use commas. I'm going to take out all the proper punctuation just to let him know I'm a real human being.
Yeah, it's just one long run on.
Oh my gosh. It is good to talk to you, man. It has been a while. Anything exciting going on in your world?
Not a whole lot. At the end of the year, wrapping up a lot of stuff with toy releases and stuff like that. Mezco's dropped a whole bunch. They had the new Rumble Society Bartholomew Vex thing that just dropped. I was lucky. I don't know how it happened, but I ordered. So Gaslight Batman, Gotham by Gaslight Batman, charged on October 30th. I have yet to receive a shipping notification from that figure. There are people that have them in hand and all that. Bartholomew Vex went online, bought. It was shipped to me and I got it in 3 days. So, and that happened like November ish, like after Thanksgiving. So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, great. But can I like get this one? Cause this is the one that I really wanted like all year long.
Yeah.
It's waiting for you to print that label.
And I paid for it already. So,
yeah. Yeah. So there's that end of the year rush. They did delay the Turtles, which is a relief to me, to some people, not so much. But that's like $400 that I don't have to spend in December. So I'm pretty excited.
Oh, the Mezco Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
How long did they delay them for?
Till February.
Nice.
Which I figured that was going to happen. I mean, and they may get delayed again, but you know, like if you buy everything Mezco, you would have been out of pocket like $2,000 in December because they released a giant Godzilla. It was like $450. They released the Fantastic Four. Doctor Doom, Fantastic Four was $450. Doctor Doom was $155.
Jesus.
Batman, Bartholomew Vex. There's probably one I'm forgetting in there, but there was a big chunk of change. And so I feel like if they had released those others, they would have received so many cancellations that they were like, yeah, maybe not. Now. Yeah. That's a big ticket item.
Ruining Christmas for all these people.
Yeah. Hey, kids, I hope you like looking at toys because you can look at these. You can't touch them. Right.
Jesus. Well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's just toy release stuff. That's really it, though. Nothing major. Whatever.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Same. Not a lot's been going on. The usual. So we're not going to have an episode next week. We're going to actually have our Christmas break, but I might record something just like talking shop about what is going to happen, because there's a few things that I think we're going to change in the new year. Like, probably going to scrap the website because I don't really use it. I'd rather not pay for something, I'm just paying for something that I'm putting out a few articles a year. It just seems kind of like a waste.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe the comic book review is all, because I usually just do them on Twitter or whatever people are calling it now, or Threads, depending on if that's going to become a thing. And then maybe I'll do like a Medium or a Substack or something. So just a free thing that I could just write reviews on. Tumblr. People say I still use Tumblr, but I don't know if anyone else uses it.
I mean, it still exists, so somebody's using it.
It's just me on there talking to those guys. They lost a lot of users. This one.
Yeah. Born, yeah.
Yeah.
So many users.
Why am I going to use this website if I can't accidentally see a bunch of porn GIFs?
Yeah, accidentally. Whoops.
We're going to do something that we haven't done in a long time. And I honestly, putting the list together, it's been so long. And we could do a dedicated episode. And maybe, I don't know. No. We're going to take next week off. But we could do a dedicated episode of all the things that happened this year that we didn't get to talk about because of the strike. But
retroactive reviews.
Yeah. But I did put together a few things that I had been wanting to talk to Simon about, and we just hadn't been able to get together. So Trending Topics is back. Welcome back. If I had sounds, I would do like a big cheer.
Yeah.
We're going to kick things off with Marvel, because a lot of things came out from Marvel. We had the Marvels. We didn't get to talk about that and all the controversy around it. Spider-Man 2 did very well at the Game Awards. We got to talk about the game and the Game Awards. We got to talk about the highly anticipated Madam Web trailer that was released. I can't wait to hear what you thought about that.
Yeah.
But before all that, lots of speculation throughout the years of the Reed Richards in the MCU. You know, we got to see John Krasinski be him. He was a fan pick for so long, since the beginning of the MCU. We got to see him in Multiverse of Madness, and people were wondering if he was going to be the actual MCU Mr. Fantastic, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case, because Pedro Pascal has officially been cast as the MCU's Reed Richards. What do you think about that, man?
I mean, I really like Pedro Pascal, and I don't really care that much. I had like a type in my head for the type of person that was going to play that. And it was like very old fashioned, super white dude. And so, but I think Pedro will kill it. I mean, he's a great actor.
My fan cast was the dude from You.
Mm-hmm.
The killer. I thought he could do that pretty well. Yeah. The hopeless romantic in You. That's who was my fan cast for it. Never in a million years would fan cast Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, but sure. You know, I feel like it's a safe bet. He's popular right now. He's in everything. Everybody loves him from, you know, The Last of Us, Mandalorian, that movie he did with Nicolas Cage. That was really funny. Yeah.
Did you watch that?
I did.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was just Nicolas Cage playing the character that everybody thinks Nicolas Cage is. So himself. It was pretty good. I think you would like it. So Pedro Pascal, fine. I don't really, like you said, I don't really care. I'm not that invested. It's not like we're going into the Marvels and, you know, the whole Variety article and all these things that happened, but I don't have the superhero fatigue like everybody talks about. I don't think that I am invested the same way all of these people are in these movies.
Yeah.
A lot of these people base their entire, like, real life outside of the internet off of these movies. It's the most important thing they have going on in their lives. And for me, it's just not, you know, it's going to the movies on a Thursday or Friday. And I like superheroes and it's a superhero movie. They're not always good. They're usually just okay.
Yeah.
More times than not, you know, we hear the argument that the MCU hadn't been the same since Endgame. And I'm like, it was just okay before Endgame.
Yeah. I mean, it really, like, when you think about all the movies that came out, I mean, in my opinion, I really like Iron Man 1. I really like Iron Man 3. A lot of people don't like that one.
I liked it. I like most of them. You know,
Yeah, I mean, they're all passable. They're fun to watch, and that's really it. They're fun to watch. Like, they're popcorn flicks. That's what they've always been. I think Infinity War and Endgame kind of changed that a little bit because it was a Empire Strikes Back scenario with Infinity War.
And they also had the buildup of 23 movies. Well, not even 23 movies because they didn't start building up until like halfway through. But they had the buildup of all of these movies once they started connecting it. So, of course, Infinity War and Endgame are going to be different because it had so much setup. It had, like, you know what I mean? Hundreds of hours of setup for these two movies.
Yeah.
And like you said, the Empire Strikes Back situation, of course.
I think it was kind of foolish to, with the this new whatever, to try to continue that.
Yeah.
But I also don't know how you would do it without continuing that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think they've been cooked long enough, if that makes any sense. Like, it's fine. And most of the movies that I've seen, I haven't seen any that I was just like, oh my God, that was the worst.
Yeah.
There's some that I didn't enjoy as much, but I think that with a little bit more time, all of them would be, there's obviously some kind of studio interference. I mean, I say that, maybe not, but it feels like.
I think there is. I feel like there was a huge push for the streaming services to make Disney Plus. They wanted to recreate the popularity of the movies in a smaller form with the streaming services. And I don't think it worked out as well as they'd planned. I don't know how to do it any differently, but I just don't think it worked out the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've liked all those shows too. I haven't had any issues with those. So I really like, I don't know, man. What ruins it is the damn fans. Like we've talked about before, people that scream MCU at every opportunity. I mean, the shows have been great. She-Hulk was probably the best one.
I love She-Hulk, and I just can't. My feelings are going to, we're going to talk about the Marvels. I loved She-Hulk. I really did. And I did not understand the fan reaction to it.
Same.
I don't know. I just thought it was great. And I get it. You know, opinions are subjective. That's been my thing right now. Anytime someone like tries to yell at me about how wrong it is that this movie's shit and all this stuff, I'm like, well, I liked it personally, man. I don't care if you liked it or not. That's your opinion. That's totally fair. Yeah. But if that's fair, then the opposite has to be true as well. Like my opinion has to be okay for me personally, you know? And I think that the nuance of opinions on the internet now is non-existent because people aren't very smart.
It's kind of like that with everything though. I mean, no one's opinions are valid anymore. So.
Yeah. And I do not care if you don't like it. That's cool. I mean, that's fine. I don't think that every single thing could be for every single person.
Right.
I just don't. When going into the Marvels, before the Marvels came out, there was this crazy push, which we knew was going to happen because Brie Larson pissed off all of those angry dudes on the internet with the first movie, which I wonder if she's like, I should have just not messed with those idiots. But who could predict that they were going to be so butthurt that it would carry over years from now? And So there's been this big push about how this movie is going to flop, how this movie is going to be terrible. And just this, they've been working overtime before the movie came out. And so it's no surprise that the movie came out and they continued it. And they said, oh, see what happened? It flopped. It was terrible. Nobody went to see it. As if pushing this giant narrative online would not have any influence. I'm not saying it had a huge influence, but I feel like once you start a campaign like that and people start rallying behind you, it reflects people going into the movie. Like some, there are fans out there that base their sole opinion off of their favorite creators. So they say all these MCU things and it's woke and all this stuff, then they just parrot it and type it the same thing on the internet. So I went to saw the Marvels, and I just had some of that stuff in the back of my head just because you see it so often, right? And how it's going to be terrible. And I really, the first Captain Marvel movie was just okay to me.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. It's not one of my favorites, but it was fine. And so I was like, man, it's going to suck if this one is just fine too, because they're going to be like, I told you so.
Right.
And then I ended up, I loved it, man. It was weird. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
Right. Yeah. It was enjoyable for sure. The quippiness fit a lot more in this than I think it does in a lot of movies. And I mean, I won't say it's not forgettable, but they all kind of are.
And that's my thing is I'm not saying it's Citizen Kane. I'm not saying it's this epic movie, but it was never, I don't think it was ever saying it was going to be, you know?
No, it was fun to watch. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. So. And I'm also not saying it didn't have its faults. You know, it did have pacing issues and things like that. It was a shorter movie, which I honestly ended up enjoying that it was a shorter movie. I don't always have to sit there for 2.5 hours. People complained about the villain being forgettable, which
I can see that,
which is true. But in defense of that, I feel like if they would have gave the villain a lot of background and a lot of exposition, then they would say that the other characters didn't get enough. You have four main characters in this movie, you know, three leads and a villain. So it's
the flip flop of a normal unsuccessful superhero movie where they have like three villains and one hero and then nobody gets enough screen time.
So what do you do? And they tried to remedy this by tying it to the first Captain Marvel movie and it being the backstory of Hala dying, which I thought worked pretty well. I agree that the villain was forgettable, but she almost had to be, I don't think it would have worked. They would have complained either way. It was a bad villain.
And they made it a villain that was like not really a big deal in the comics either. So no one could really say that when you make these villains too memorable, then you kill them off like they have a tendency to do.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, wasted. Like you said, there was no win. There was no win.
There was no
scenario.
Win. I feel like they did the best route because you had to spend a lot of the short movie. You had to spend a lot of the time fostering this relationship between the three Marvel women. Mm-hmm. And I think they did. Like, I loved their scenes together. Some, it felt rushed, but it was, you know, whatever. It was a shorter movie.
Yeah.
Did your wife enjoy it? Did she see it with you?
Yeah, she liked it.
Yeah, man, my family enjoyed it too.
Woman crush on Brie Larson, though. So I mean, was like, Brie Larson? She's like, yeah, yep.
I mean, me too. Madison, Madison, my wife is very aware of my affinity for Brie Larson. I don't know. I think I blame Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, you know? Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes I'll sing that song in the house and Madison will just roll her eyes. And it's funny because Scott Pilgrim, the animated series, just came out. And I asked her if she wanted to watch it. And I was like, I don't want to watch you, you know, falling over your girl crush, your fan crush or whatever, because Brie Larson reprises her role in that. And so that's funny. But yeah, I don't blame her. Brie Larson's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, all three of them are great. They really are. I mean,
yeah. That to me, the Ms. Marvel, whatever, like she was the highlight. She was the funniest one to me.
Oh my gosh. Iman Vellani. So whenever she was first cast as Ms. Marvel, I just didn't see it. I didn't see it, but also didn't know much about her. I think this was her first role. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not too sold on it. Ms. Marvel could be a huge character, you know, and like growing to be a Spider-Man of this era. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have Miles Morales to be the Spider-Man of this era, but something of like that in an original character, you know. And Ms. Marvel, the show, was fine. I thought it was great. I loved the family stuff in it. But in this movie, man, she really, I'm a huge fan of her after this movie. Mm-hmm. I think she could be like that. That's what they need to chase. Stop the multiverse stuff. Stop the bringing back the Fox character. Stop all of that. Just get it out of here. I don't want to see it. I know they're going to do it in Deadpool 3. Ugh. Hopefully, we'll talk about it. But just, yeah, she needs to be the direction going forward, whether it be Young Avengers or Champions. I hope that they dive into it and bring Miles in, because I just think that that's what the younger generation will latch on to. And that needs to be the plan going forward, because all these old grumpy men, obviously.
Yeah, they want it the same that it's been for the last 60 years.
Yeah, they want that Rob Liefeld hiding the feet behind boulders in the MCU. That's what they want.
Yeah, they're like, well, except one black character. One at a time.
And if Nicolas Cage wasn't Sam Jackson, if it was just a random black actor, they would not have accepted it. Nick Cage. Is that his name?
Samuel L. Jackson?
What is that guy's? Who did he play?
Who are you talking about? What did you say? Nicolas Cage is white. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Nick Fury. We were talking about Nick Cage earlier.
Yeah.
And he just burned himself into my brain. If Nick Fury wasn't played by Samuel Jackson, they would have never accepted it, because you can't deny Sam Jackson.
Right.
He's perfect. Speaking of perfect, Spider-Man 2. Played it, finished it. Simon, did you play it and finish it?
Yeah, great.
We had not talked about it, and I'd wondered what you thought about it.
Yeah, it was really good. I no problems. No notes.
No notes. Really. Me too, man.
The only note I have is the end costume for Miles. That was just.
I was just about to say, it is so bad. And I have been trying to be this positive person in the nerd community. I've been trying to play devil's advocate, because it's so much like negativity. But man, that suit sucks.
Yeah, it's just
his black suit is perfect.
Yeah, and I appreciate that they're trying to do their own thing. I just, even the hair sticking out, like, you would think that would, I don't know. To me, that's not the worst part. It's just the blatant tie-in, like you said.
It's like, yeah, we're gonna sell the shit out of these Adidas jumpsuits. It's like the Crest blue, I think. Crest or Colgate blue is what I hate.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Maybe if it was, maybe if it had the color scheme of his original suit, just black and red, maybe it would work better.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I liked the alternate suit. So you can do his original suit and they have alternate colors. And then he had like Pete's colors. And so I thought that would be cool if, you know, Pete's quote unquote retiring for a little bit. And then he uses Pete's his suit, but Pete's colors to be Spider-Man in New York. I thought that would be cool. But
yeah, but then, you know, he's not being his own Spider-Man anymore.
Yeah, I guess. Now he's got to have dreads, because I just... The hair being out isn't a big deal, but it's also like, you're just, don't wear a mask then. If you're going to be like, hey, I saw a guy with that hair, that exact hairstyle.
Yeah, that's a great hairstyle.
Let's murder him in the streets while he's at school.
That's true. I didn't really think about that, but that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because people would just go out looking for people with that hairstyle.
Yeah. How can we figure out who his secret identity is? Well, he has his hair. Let's use AI technology to scan all of New York. There he is. He goes to the school. Let's blow the school up.
Yeah. What did you think about the lead-ins for DLC? Like, there's the Chameleon DLC, which is obvious. I don't know.
Hopefully that's the first one, because I think that'll be the weakest one. I've always thought Chameleon was kind of a weak villain.
Yeah, I'm curious how you would even do that.
I mean, hope they don't put him in a robot suit, man. I hope they don't do him like Hammerhead.
Yeah, that's silly.
I assume they're going to do a Black Cat something with her, or maybe they won't. Maybe they just capped off her story with her going to Paris.
Yeah.
Maybe. What other ones? Cletus Cassidy?
Yeah, Carnage, obviously. Yeah.
Does he still have the symbiote if all the symbiotes went away?
I mean, you can still fight him in the city after everything.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's
there's
true.
There's still remnants.
That's true. That's true. And then you have the anti-venom suit or whatever still.
Right. So, yeah, maybe being in containment saved it from something.
Yeah. What other one would there be?
You know what would be kind of neat is if you played as Black Cat in Paris. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Just a thought.
Because her moves kind of work the same as Spider-Man's.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of, unless there's a Green Goblin-esque something.
Surely they're going to do that for the third game, right?
Do you think they're going to make a third game?
Yeah. I mean, after their clean sweep of the VGAs, maybe not, but I think they might.
Yeah, they're like, obviously no one likes us. That's that whole thing is kind of ridiculous. I've heard great things about, I know we're getting on that subject eventually, but I've heard great things about Baldur's Gate, but like crazy, like Dungeons and Dragons story type stuff that you can do with it.
Yeah. Well, there's this wild reception from the Black gaming community, which I never would have thought they would love this sort of turn-based style game. So it makes me want to pick it up. I just have it because it never appealed to me. I have no affiliation to like Baldur's Gate 2 or 1, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll check it out. Obviously, it's got to be pretty good. People love it.
Yes, Spider-Man 2 was good if you haven't played it, which I'm sure everybody has. But if you
it
haven't,
was good. I heard there was like a free roam with Venom at first. There was the ability to free roam through the city with Venom. And then they patched it to where it made it sort of, he was only stuck in a certain parameter, and I didn't get to do any free roaming with Venom, so that kind of sucked.
No, I never. Oh, you mean during that section? Like you could go outside the bounds?
Yeah. I didn't get that. They patched it to where I was stuck in that little bitty area.
Yeah, I don't think I. That would have been kind of cool. It would be cool if they added something like that in later. I don't know how they would.
Yeah.
Like an interjectory period. Maybe they could.
They could make it like an in between. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a whole section where he's building up his forces and stuff.
That would be cool. That just give MJ a real gun next time. She was like hardcore. And I know people are like, that was a comment people were making about how hardcore she was. But honestly, I enjoyed it significantly more than the MJ missions of the first. Yeah.
100%. She was like, you know, she went to a third world country, so now she's got it figured out.
Just give her a real gun next time. Let her shoot people in the head. Who cares? The most unrealistic thing, and this is relevant to what we're doing right now, the most unrealistic thing in the entire game, and there's aliens and people with spider powers and all this thing. The most unrealistic thing in the entire game was MJ at the end, spoiler alert, sitting down, recording a podcast and then publishing it and putting it on the internet.
You know, I thought the same thing.
I was like, wait a second. it takes me like 4 days to do that.
I had thought about that, and I'd also thought about, like, of course she's making a podcast. Like, what the fuck? Do something else.
Yeah, right.
There's so many podcasts.
Yeah, no one's going to listen to you, MJ. Unless you really were a supermodel, which that was another complaint. People were talking about, talk about how ugly they made MJ. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
in my head, it's like these people that make those comments on the internet don't know real women in the real world. You know what I mean? All they know is these supermodel Russian bots that interact with them on the internet.
There was that one dude. Yeah.
The most attractive women. Are just like moderately attractive women, if they gave these nerds any attention, they would cream their jeans.
Yeah, right. If that lady came up to the woman she's based on. Yeah. Yeah. I got into it on somebody that was on your Twitter and I was like, hey man, maybe like go outside.
Yeah.
Just go outside for a little while. He was like, oh, here it comes. Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
someone telling me to go outside. Probably listen to anyone tell him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because I'm like, I feel like you're proving my point. It's like, yeah, I don't have aggression issues. I was like, I think you do.
It's so weird, man. But again, those people don't have anything else. I just think it's so weird because I love comic books. I really do. I love comic books and the genre of superheroes and the movies and the games. And if something sucks, I usually say, man, that sucked. And then move on. And then just like go on about the rest of my real life, you know? But these people say it sucks. And then they just like go into this weird psychosis about how they have to make it their life's work to let everybody on the internet know that it's.
It's nice to feel validated when you don't like something. Yeah. I will admit that, to be like, not just me, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, man, like, oof, take a breather.
Yeah, go.
Think about what's important in life. You don't have enough worries if that is what's bothering you.
yeah, so much. I saw somebody posted, someone typed something out like, women used to be hot in comic books and video games. And then some chick responded to it. She was like, yeah, and men used to be strong instead of crying about comic book characters on the internet. It's like, that's a good response. That's as a man, I'm like, yeah, that checks. That's
perfect.
100% right. Rounding out Marvel news, the highly anticipated movie that all these anti-woke comic book fatigue people, this is going to save, this is going to turn everything around. Madam Web.
Yeah.
You saw the trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
I barely made it through the trailer.
I watched the trailer and I was like, what is this, man?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm going to start off my statement with saying this has nothing to do with who's in it or.
Yeah, no, not at all.
How it's presented or anything like that. I think that it could have been a cool story. It just looks so low budge. Like it looks like a cash in, like a lot of these studios do when they're trying to keep the rights to something.
Yeah. It looks like a CW show movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be cool.
Yeah, could be. I mean, maybe it's early draft. I don't know. Ezekiel as the villain is like a suave dude.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like all of these Sony movies are weird. Because they're just like Spider-Man movies without Spider-Man. And I think that's the part I can't get over. I believe they own the rights to Spider-Man 2099. So if you're doing a multiverse movie, like this is supposed to be, I don't know, totems and all that stuff. Why not, instead of using Ezekiel, make a live action Miguel? He's already pissed and angry. Just make it a live action Miguel. Make it the same one that's in the Spider-Verse altogether.
If they were going to do that anyway, they could tie it in. I mean, I know this is like a big bad, but like Morlun and all those, the spider seekers or whatever, like they would be perfect for exactly what they're doing in this movie.
It would have made it way more enjoyable. And I know there's supposed to be this thing of Ben from Parks and Rec, whatever his real name is. I don't know if his name is Ben in Parks and Rec.
Adam, I think.
Adam Scott. He's supposed to be Uncle Ben, maybe some people are thinking. I think it'd be cooler if he was Peter Parker, and the baby that's going to be born is going to be Mayday Parker, and then they go down that rabbit hole. To me, that would make me way more interested in the Sony Spider-Man movies if they did like the Spider-Girl MC2 universe.
Mm-hmm.
Let us control all of it. Every movie property from every studio, just let us do it. We'll save you money.
No one would go see it though, because it has a woman as
Multiple women in it. Too many women in these movies. That's the thing, man. Nerds hate ladies.
Yeah, there's just too many. They're threatened.
Yeah. They're strong. Strong ladies. That's what it is. We're just weak in our mom's basement. There's a lot of strong ladies that could beat us up. Mm-hmm. Which, when did that stop being appealing? Anytime I see a badass lady, I'm like, hey, yes, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Zena, the bride from Kill Bill. I'm like, yeah, that's my type. I guess I'm fucking weird. Maybe I had too much soy or whatever they claim.
Yeah, soy boy cuck.
Over on the DC side of things, there has been a lot. But I think we're just going to talk about Superman casting. That's more important to me than anything. Because we're still in that weird era of Aquaman 2 is coming out, and hopefully that's going to cap off the DCEU. We're going to leave all that in the dust and start over with James Gunn's vision, which I'm really hoping is going to be good. So we got a lot of casting news since the last time we talked, right?
Yeah.
We got David Corenswet as Superman. Is that how you say it?
I don't know, but that's great. I've had corn sweats before too, so I definitely.
And Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane.
Corn sweat. Cool. Just had to see how it was spelled. That's great.
So
yeah, it looks good. I mean, he looks like a young Soup. So
yeah, he was a skinny dude. I've seen some pictures of him recently. He's beefing up. People forget that Henry Cavill was skinny before he got the DCEU juice plan and got gigantic.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure they're sticking a lot of needles in his hip and he's going to be Superman yeah. size by the time the movie comes out. We also got Hot Girl, Isabella Merced, which the people are talking about how this movie is. I got like stacked cast. I don't think it's going to be backstories on everybody. James Gunn said that the DCU is going to feel like a lived in universe already. So it's not all origin stories from every single character, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, we can figure it out.
Yeah, you just can. And if you have any sort of general knowledge of like comic books or old animated series, you'll be fine.
And the nice thing is like a lot of these, sometimes they have lead in comics and stuff, but you know, it will garner interest in the property. So if somebody's like, oh, who is this person? Maybe they'll go look up a comic that has Hot Girl in it, whatever. So.
Yeah, and James Gunn's been doing a really good job at every time he announces a character that's been cast, he also puts out a list of like the inspirations of his version of the character. So that's been really cool. A lot of times, like especially Marvel, they don't really do that. They never really push the comic books on top of the movies. But they do the opposite. They use the movies corporate synergy to push them, or they use the comic books and corporate synergy to push the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Synergy.
Yeah.
Skylar Gisondo from Righteous Gemstones. He plays in a lot of stuff. Plays the same character in a lot of things. I like the guy a lot. He is Jimmy Olsen. Perfect. Perfect casting. I think he's going to be great. And it's Jimmy Olsen. So it's like, I do love the Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen book from back in the day. It's just like a crazy adventures of Jimmy Olsen. So good. So maybe he'll get a side spinoff on HBO Max because I think that's James Gunn's sweet spot. After watching Peacemaker, I think those obscure characters, I think it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part. Embracing them and not like kind of making fun, but also.
Yeah. Not. Like putting some heart behind it. Nicholas Holt has been cast as Lex Luthor. I think it's perfect. Yeah. And it's kind of all around perfect because he auditioned for Batman in the Batman movie, didn't get it. Lost to the vampire guy. He auditioned for this Superman, didn't get it. And so now he's going to be the villain, which is perfect. I also called it whenever he didn't get the casting for Superman. I said that there is one character that he could play that wanted to be Batman and Superman. Because there was a time that Lex Luthor had on this Batman armor and he was going to buy Gotham City, buy Gotham City. And then he also had this Superman armor one time. And here we are. You're welcome. Yep. Nathan Fillion is going to play Guy Gardner, which is weird. But also, people are like, oh, he's too old to play Guy Gardner. So they were never going to give Guy Gardner his own movie franchise.
Yeah, please don't.
He's not the worst Green Lantern. I like him for what he is. But he's also by far not the best Green Lantern to put a movie franchise around.
Yeah, can't wait to see that bowl cut.
If it's a lived-in universe, that's perfect. He's been Green Lantern for a while. I don't know. Anthony Carrigan, Metamorpho. Very excited about that. Metamorpho is one of those obscure characters that is perfect.
Yeah.
And that guy's good, too. He played in Barry. And I don't know what else he played in, but I loved him in Barry. Bald guy. Did you ever watch Barry?
Yeah. Who did he play in Barry?
He's the bald guy.
I don't remember. Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He played Daz as well.
Yeah, he did play Zaz. Sorry. Lost my fucking place. Going down an Anthony Carrigan rabbit hole. We also got the guy that played Darwin in X-Men First Class. Hmm. Can't pronounce his name, but he's going to be one of my favorite DC characters of all time, Mr. Terrific. So that's cool. I do love Mr. Terrific and the Terrifics. So hopefully he's going to be in that. hopefully they do a terrific series or movie. I would love it. I know, you know, that's a, one of the problems with these castings and things like that. People start coming up with these dream projects that they want and then it doesn't happen and they get sad. It does look like he's leaning towards more of a Justice League International vibe rather than a traditional Justice League story that we've seen over and over.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. At that point, even if it's a different story, a different universe, once you've seen something so many times, it's really not worth continuing.
And then you kind of get to avoid the comparison to like the Snyder movies and the Justice League animated series. You get to avoid all of that.
Yeah.
And Justice League International, you get so many other characters, you know, Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, which we've already got Blue Beetle, Ted Kord introduced. It works, man.
Yeah.
I think. I hope. I really do. Sure. I think it could be good, you know. Any opinion on any of these castings?
No, not yet.
Sean Gunn this week was cast as Maxwell Lord, though. And a lot of people on the internet are anti-James Gunn because they love the Snyderverse. They're like, their main thing is James Gunn said that no actor would ever play two or more roles or whatever because he has multiple people playing multiple roles in like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And Sean Gunn is playing he's a voice actor in the Creature Commandos show movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, who gives a fuck, man? Who cares about that?
Well, he's also the Weasel or whatever, yeah, too.
Who cares about that, man? These are characters that nobody gives a shit about. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden they have these huge fan bases. You guys hated the second Wonder Woman movie with Maxwell Lord. Everyone hates that movie. But now they're like, Pedro Pascal was the perfect Maxwell Lord. It's just like, nobody, you can't please everybody. So you just got to stop giving a fuck about people's opinions.
Yeah, 100%. 100% on that.
Don't go see the movie, man. If you hate it without seeing it, and that was my argument with the Marvels. If you hate this movie before you see it, just don't go see it, man.
Yeah, save yourself the time and money.
But these people still pay to go see it. So it's like, whatever. Losers. I don't know anything else that's going on with DC. Aquaman 2 is about to come out.
Boo. Anyway, yay. Continue.
Yay. Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. We got to play the...
Can't talk about it.
Closed beta, but we cannot talk about it. When we stop recording, I forgot to ask you what you thought about that. Can't talk about it, but we played it. So that's moving on.
It exists. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. Invincible. We didn't get to do the Invincicast like we did last year or 2 years ago whenever this show came out because it was still going on during the writer's strike. But did you watch all the episodes? Oh, you haven't seen any of them? Nice. So maybe we can do the Invincicast in the new year. Yeah. Because they did four episodes. Mid-series finale. Robert Kirkman said that he's going to try to release a season every year. So that'll be cool. So yeah, maybe we can do that in January. I'll rewatch him. I enjoyed it enough. And what about Scott Pilgrim? Did you watch Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, we watched that.
I did not finish it. So I know, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but I know Scott comes back, but I'm at that episode. The two Scott, two Pilgrim or whatever. I'm at that episode.
In my opinion, it's slow. I did like it, but it's like, it's just moving a little slow for me. I love an alternate take, though. That's my favorite part about it. It wasn't just
some people were saying like, oh, I can't believe they did this. They killed Scott in the first episode. I absolutely loved it, man.
Yeah. There's part of me that wants the retelling, but why do that? You know, we've already got a perfect movie.
Yeah, I read the book, which I actually I've been rereading it. The book. It's one of my top five favorite comic book movies of all time, probably top three. I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And so, you're the same way. I don't need that stretched out over eight episodes when I've already seen it.
Right. Yeah, I think I was just expecting like the manga. Like that,
closer to the book.
And so when that happened, I was like, wait a second, what?
Yeah, it caught me off guard. I was like, I guess this is cool though, because it was cool for me because I get to watch something without all these preconceived comparisons. And, sure. and yeah, it is a little slow, but I don't know. I've been liking it. And maybe that's why I didn't blaze through it. It's because it's so slow.
Yeah. We were watching it a little by little because it was like, okay.
Yeah. As you know, I fall asleep pretty easily. So, not that it's boring. It is just a little slower.
Might need some explosions or something.
Yeah. Where are the fights at? The fights have been good. And it's hard to like, and I've started rereading the manga because I'm like, wait, how did this happen in the book? And so it's been cool to see the comparison between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot. It made me re-download the game. So
yeah, the game's great.
The game. And yeah, that's another one. There's a game of it. So it's like, how many times do we need to see? It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
We're getting another one of those, that's a perfect segue. VGA, Video Game Awards. I don't care about awards. Mm-hmm. And I don't care because I think they're silly. They're made to like push whatever. You know, award shows are silly. Baldur's Gate won Video Game of the Year. I think that's the big news from it. There were some game announcements. Hideo Kojima is working with what's his name? Key and Peele, but only half of them.
Jordan Peele.
On a game. It's a scary game. I'm not really into scary games, so
I'm not going to play it.
I might not play it. And I think it's Xbox exclusive, so that's weird. Xbox is really trying to flex that. We got exclusives now.
Yeah, it is weird because like the Kojima Productions or whatever started with PlayStation. Like PlayStation funded the shit out of them.
Yeah.
For that game, so for the Amazon delivery game. So
weird. Oh yeah, that kid. I've never beat that game. Did you beat that game?
I never touched it.
Oh really?
It's boring. Looks so boring.
It's so boring, man. It's so boring. And I'm sure maybe I'll go on YouTube and watch. You know, they splice all the cutscenes together. Maybe I'll do that. I tried to play it. I could not get past it. It was worse than Red Dead 2 for me. I know that's blasphemous because people love that game.
Man, it is.
The game's fucking boring.
Yeah, it's slow. It's definitely slow. I've definitely fallen asleep on a horse before.
It took me multiple tries to get through the intro where you're taking that long ass wagon ride.
Yeah, that intro was anyway. Yeah.
no sidebars on that. Highlights, Blade game. Looks great. We didn't get any gameplay or anything like that, but that cutscene teaser that we got looked pretty great. And I think Blade is one of those game properties that could really work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that company, I mean, they've made the Dishonored games and they made, I can't remember that time loop game, Deathloop.
Yeah, that game's great.
Which I enjoyed. Yeah, the gameplay. Anyway, they're really great at gameplay. So having some story writer in there that with an established property should be good. The last game that they made for Xbox was like bad, but
it was like a vampire game, right?
It was like a live service multiplayer game, which they don't make.
Yeah, I've heard people say that it wasn't good. I never played it. Live service games are so
it's weird. Just a four-player multiplayer game, and they're single-player game designers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somebody said, like it seems like they intentionally made this bad so that Xbox would never put them on a project like this again.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm excited for it. It is going to be an Xbox exclusive, though, which is weird. Marvel, but I guess they did it with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
not that they're the same caliber character, but it could be
Xbox.
Cool,
Xbox bought a shit ton of studios. And
yeah, they're really trying to compete where it comes to because they already have the better service as far as like their Xbox Gold or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
that depends on what you play, I guess.
At one time, I think that was true. I think it might be debatable now, but
yeah. The only reason I say that is because like this game, if you have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you get like I got Starfield day one.
The Game Pass now. The Game Pass, that is way better than anything PlayStation has.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. And this Blade game, you'll get it day one from having Ultimate. And so I think they're just really trying to compete as far as, because I think that PlayStation is the superior system. I've always been a PlayStation fan. This is my first time ever owning an Xbox, and there are things that I like about the Xbox. specifically their Game Pass. But I'm like, I lucked out. Now I'll get to play Blade. So that's cool.
Yeah, I think this next year will probably be the Xbox year, because they bought all those in the last 2 or 3 years, and it takes a while to develop games.
Bethesda's a big chunk of that. I'm a huge Bethesda fan. I know people have a love-hate relationship with it. I know that even the things that I don't like about Bethesda, I'm a huge fan of a lot of their properties. So if Fallout 5, is it 5? The next one?
Yeah, it would be 5.
If Fallout 5 is going to be exclusive to that, I'm going to play the crap out of it, because I love those Fallout games.
Quick sidebar on that. So you talk about nerds on the internet. I saw somebody, it was on TikTok, and you know, they're making a Fallout TV show that looks neat. In my opinion, it's fine. Just put me in the universe. I'm good, right?
Yeah.
Somebody was like, well, they don't have these VTOLs over in California yet because of the... I'm like, dude, chill the fuck out. He was talking about how it's going to be terrible and picking apart like the timeline. I'm like,
compared to the in-game universe, right?
Yeah, no one cares, bro.
Yeah. Amazon has not disappointed me yet when it comes to nerd-related content. The Boys, even though they're milking the absolute shit out of The Boys, Gen V was good. The Boys, it's good. Better than the comic book, for sure. Invincible is good. Like, they have not dropped the ball when it comes to that stuff. Not saying it's all perfect, but it's all been enjoyable. You know what I mean? So I think it'll be fine. Again, I'm like you. Just put me in the world. Like, this is the thing. Is like, when we were kids, we would sit around on the playground or our friend's house dreaming of being able to see these things on TV and the movies.
I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I think
that's the problem, because we spent so much time daydreaming about it. There are a lot of people did that now. Like, this doesn't meet my 11-year-old expectations. Yeah, you know?
I think that's a big problem with just speaking comic books specifically. People are talking about like the good old days and how things have changed, and I'm like, that's how just life works, man. Things in the real world progress and they change, and it's not going to be the same thing that you had when you were a kid. You maybe you need to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good thing.
I'm not, and this is someone that I will never grow up. And maybe I was just more of an evolved kid. Maybe that's my thing. Yeah. I was ahead of my time. I've always been an old soul. I was a grumpy old man as a child, and I think that's why I fit into this world better.
Yeah,
yeah,
makes sense.
Something that I thought was great. There was some other game announcements that I probably didn't care about. God of War DLC, and it's free.
Yeah, yeah, it's a roguelike, though, so I don't know. But hey, you know, I'll have to relearn how to play the damn game, but
I did when this one came out. I was like, I feel like I was so badass at the end of playing the first God of War, and then jumping back into it with this one, it's like, nope, don't know how to play.
Were we talking about that? I don't remember if it was me or you or somebody else, but I remember being like, dude, I've got this shit on easy. I just keep dying.
It was me. So I started it on normal and was like playing it, and it was too hard. I put it on easy.
Yeah, I got to a point and I really was getting angry.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dude, what happened? Like,
I just want to play the game at this point.
Yeah, I suck at this game. Yeah, I just want to get past this.
I agree. It's going to be roguelike, but the free part to me is the most appealing thing.
It's always fun.
In this day and age, that is a rare occurrence where they're going to give you free content of any kind. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. And I do love that world, the God of War, specifically like this era of it. So jumping back in should be fun.
Yeah, I like the more mature storytelling. Yeah.
Less edgelord, more actual story.
Yeah.
Then just like, oh, my guts have been stabbed out. I'm going to hell to beat up everyone.
Yeah, I got stabbed 15 times. Now I'll go fuck a lady.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Biggest news of the video game awards. Budokai Tenkaichi is like the popular Dragon Ball franchise. It was my favorite back in the day. And they moved over to the Xenoverse era. Then they also had FighterZ, which they all have their positives, right? Mm-hmm. They're bringing it back. but it's called Dragon Ball Z Sparking Zero or something very convoluted. It's very Dragon Ball fashion. Looks amazing, right? It does. Sure. But I put out a post because Dragon Ball Z / S, whatever you're calling it now, is the NBA 2K of anime video games. So NBA 2K, they just release the same damn game every year, you know, 2K 14, oh, sure. 15, 16, all the way up. That's all this is. They just update the graphics. There's no new Dragon Ball story. It's the same story over and over and over. And they just improve the fight mechanics, the looks, and things like that, which people were like, oh man, don't crap on us. We're still going to get it. I'm like, I'm still going to get it. Every time I say I'm not going to get it, I do get it.
Yeah, I get every one of them, and then I'm like, God, I suck at this.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. The thing that I liked about Xenoverse is that they tried to make it feel original with, like, the time travel element.
Yeah, the whole timeline stuff was cool.
Yeah, and so, yeah, of course I'm going to get this game. Budokai Tenkaichi, the cool thing about those games is that massive roster of, like, every single character that's been in the property ever, and then they had that fusion mechanic to where you could fuse obscure characters like Tien and Yamcha and things like that. So if they add that bag, I'm sold, man. Pre-order. I don't pre-order games anymore, but
I don't either. Not even games that I've played the closed beta for.
Yeah.
I'll get it.
Why not? Yeah. Stop sending me emails, man. I'm going to buy it, but just, yeah, I'm not going to pre-order it.
Go ahead and unsubscribe from this shit.
Well, that's all we got for trending topics, guys. We're going to take a second. We haven't done this in a while. It feels good. And yeah, we'll be right back. This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade, and it's been a long time. And it's been a long time, but some people call it a trade review.
Well, I'll let this one slide.
I'm excited to be back to finish this Batman / Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles saga. I'm very, very interested. I just listened to the last episode, and Simon was not impressed. When I was editing, I had the ability to, you can search by terms that takes you to whatever section. And I looked up how many times Simon said, I just don't care. And it was a lot. I am interested to see what he thinks about this one, because I feel like this break that we took from last recording that may have skewed my vision of this, because I was trying to play devil's advocate, but I was along the same lines as Simon in the last one. So I'm interested to hear how we both feel about this. Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Maybe it's like the third Ninja Turtles movie. My favorite. That's not my favorite. It's not my favorite, but I do enjoy it more than most people. You said it was unwatchable, right?
No, I've watched it. I don't recommend people should watch it.
Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, issue number 1, written by James Tynion IV, art and cover by Freddie Williams II. The 80th anniversary of Batman collides with the 35th anniversary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in this stunning concluding miniseries to the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trilogy. Our heroes have battled the evil of the Foot Clan in Gotham City and Bane in New York. But now, Krang has gotten his hands on the most dangerous technologies in the DC universe, and no one is safe from his wrath. This is also co-published with IDW, so you got to give them some love. It's not all Batman. It's not all DC. W had a hand in this.
Birds.
Where are we at, Sim? Was the break enough?
This one is kind of, to start off, this one is really the vision of what I kind of thought they were all going to be. So, you know, that part of it, I really appreciated. And we can get into it more as we get into it. But I would say yes to answer your question.
Yeah. In this one, compared to the other ones, the first volume, in case you didn't check that episode out, I recommend going to listen to that one and the second one before this one so you can get all the references. But in the first one, it was them in Gotham City, right? It was the Turtles go to Gotham City.
Yes.
They do an adventure there. The second one, they have an adventure in New York City, right? And this one is a fusion of the two worlds, which I thought was crazy refreshing, because if there was going to be another, where I thought it was going to be like, we're in New York and part of it, and then we're in Gotham and part of it. And I wasn't really interested in that,
mm-hmm.
because we did it two times in a mediocre fashion. This was way more what I wanted. And like you said, what you thought the entire thing was going to be like. In this world, we have a Batman essentially grows up with the turtles in just sort of their turtle life is exactly the same, except they have another brother and it's Batman. And I thought it was creative, a lot of the ways that they fuse this world together. And some of it was kind of funny, some of it was kind of silly, but I like silly stuff. So how did you feel about the merger of the two worlds?
Yeah, like I said, I to me, that was what I was expecting the whole time. And I appreciated it. You know, there's some parts that I still don't like. I really like his costume as like this guy, as this version of Batman.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see, like, I don't know, just how they pushed everything together was a lot of fun. It's cool to see how the turtles kind of have their elements too. It wasn't just like Batman is raised by Splinter. It was the turtles have like costumes now that are more than just bandanas, you know?
Yeah. And they sort of have an analog with the Bat family. So we get introduced to the turtles one by one. We have Raphael, sort of similar to the Red Hood, exactly like the Red Hood. Donnie, who is more like the Tim Drake Robin, Red Robin, whatever you want to call him. Mikey, which didn't fit to me, is Damian, but I love that later on they even acknowledge that, where Damian says, that doesn't even make sense. Why we're nothing alike. Why are you me? And then we have Nightwing as Leonardo, simply because they both wear blue. That's what it boils down to. I thought the villains were creative, though. They have a Bebop and Rocksteady fuse with Killer Croc and Clayface. And so it's like they didn't completely take away from the origins of the original characters. Maybe they skewed more towards the origins of the Batman characters, but they look like and have themes of the TMNT universe.
Yeah, definitely.
This might be my favorite version of Joker in all of comic books.
Yeah, I mean, he's cool. He definitely, I wasn't quite sure what was going on at first. Like because they don't really state it as, you know, like the merger yet.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite sure what was happening with the Joker, but it is a cool concept.
Yeah, because he's not really a merger, because, spoiler alert, as we learn later, Orokusaki's alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an angry ninja dude just training by himself. So this is Joker, Jack Napier, whatever, whoever he is before he becomes a Joker, then he's the Laughing Man. Which, again, this is probably my favorite version of Joker. He'd be way cooler if he was like this all the time.
Yeah, well, and also it's just refreshing to see anything other than the normal Joker, which is like everything. So,
and this is no exception, because they got to put him in it, man. You know, you got to have that traditional Joker in it. But it is refreshing to see him like this. We're more calculated, still playing on the laughing and smiling aspect of it. The Foot Clan is called the Smile now. I thought that was funny. It's stupid, but also the Foot is a stupid name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So it's cool. It was cool. I dig the Turtles costumes.
Yeah, the Batcave scenario is pretty funny. Oh, shit, I didn't even notice that the Turtle blimp is the Batman Beyond Batmobile attached to the blimp.
That's cool. That is really cool. They have a Triceratops instead of a T-Rex, and that's sort of a nod to the Triceratons and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe.
Yeah,
lots of cool stuff. In the previous books, I wasn't a huge fan of Freddie Williams' like vehicles and things like that. There are some random things that don't like even make anything, but he really hit the nail on the head with that kind of stuff. You get the Batmobile mixed with a turtle van sort of off to the side. That's cool.
Yeah, that instead of a giant penny, it looks like a giant yen.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
What do you think about Alfred the Butler Rat?
I didn't love it, but yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
It looks cool, but the reasoning behind it was like, what? He's like, yeah. I took on the role of your butler because I wanted you to feel at home. And it's almost like Batman doesn't realize he's a kid, like a human being at some points of this book. Because he's like, I keep having these nightmares of this kid with dark hair. And are they not letting this kid see himself in a mirror at all his entire life?
Yeah, right. He's like the shredder when he gets hypnotized. Yeah. Oh, look, there's still some cheese in the shredder.
Oh, my God. They look cool. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of all their character designs. Freddie Williams, I know I've made some comments about his art in the past ones. It's working for me so far in this. And
it's better.
It's better. I think it's more consistent is what I'm thinking so far. What do you think about the big reveal on this one, man?
It's dope. I mean, I like it. It's dope.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's cool because it's like the serious version.
You know? The original one. And so there was a nod in the beginning of this issue in between all of this stuff with the Smile Clan attacking the city and things like that. There's just this one panel where this guy walks up on this. You almost miss it. This panel of this guy walking up on this hobo and stealing his trench coat and his hat. I didn't even really pay it any attention. I was like, I don't even know what that is, whatever. And the payoff is that it is the original Eastman and Laird Raphael. And of course, how do you know that? It's because he is also black and white. They do that. They did that in the Turtles Forever crossover where they go into like the original. Did you ever see that one?
I never did watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so they had the original Turtles in that. They're the more serious, again, black and white. It looks so good, man. In like the art of that turtle looks better than everything else, in my opinion. Yeah, just because I like it.
I agree. It's a cool style.
And I don't know if that's the end of the first issue.
I'm not really sure. I think they fight. Yeah, you're right. That is the end. The reveal is the end of the issue.
Yeah, so that's the first issue. So far, I'm enjoying this one significantly more than the first two series, just because, like we talked about, this is sort of what we were wanting, I think, with the entire series. And then seeing that original Raph, it's just so good, man. Caught me off guard, and I really dug that. I am a little sick of all the multiverse stuff, but that is a big part of DC Universe comics, and it happens to be a part of Ninja Turtles too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's some fatigue there. I think that it works here because it's already like a twist on two separate worlds. So
yeah, and if they're going through all the tropes of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles through these three series and all the Batman tropes, yes, you have to finish with the quote unquote crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the first issue.
Yep. So Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 3, number 2, Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, joined series artist Freddie E. Williams II as guest artist for the second issue of Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 3. Krang's true power has been revealed, and now it's up to Batman and the Turtles to stop him, but their only hope may lie with the strange yet familiar visitor from another world.
Starting this off, seeing Krang in the anti-monitor body, it's cool, man. It's cool. Uh-huh. I'm a sucker for weird stuff like that, and it was great. Because I don't really care about the anti-monitor at all. He's just one of those sort of cosmic deities in the DC universe that's like, looks stupid.
Yeah, he looks silly. But it works for that.
Yeah, it works perfect instead of Krang's big baby body. How do you feel about this one going into it?
I mean, I enjoyed it. Of course, there's always that let them talk moment. Just let him talk for a second.
Yeah. At least in this one, he acknowledges that. Like, he says, hey, I need you all to talk. And Batman's super aggro. And he's, you know, you're at our house. Yeah. We have to beat you up. And then he kicks the shit out of all of them. I thought that was great, man.
Yeah, it's a cool, it's a, you know, like we were saying, it's a cool version of the characters, you know, the old school. They're not as nerdy. They're not as unskilled.
Mm-hmm. And he talks about being a little older, not so much a teenager, because he does his backstory and they do it in the original art style, which for years I was like, I don't really dig Eastman's art style. You know, I really don't dig the art style of the first, you know, the old Mirage books. But as I've gotten older, I just really appreciate it because it's just so different.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
And so these couple of pages telling the backstory, I thought it was really good, man. And it just looks like it's ripped out of the original book.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Eastman and Laird's drawing, you know, their original stuff reminds you that you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
A successful
really
comic.
You just have to have a compelling story, really, man. Like, it's either the art has to be stellar out of this world to carry a weak story, or the story has to be compelling and then the art can be passable, you know?
Yeah.
I really dug that he's telling the story and he says, we were the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and we were freaking awesome. And that is a different angle of the first issue cover. Mm-hmm. So the first issue cover is like straight in front of him, and this is like from the side. I'm a huge sucker for that cover, and they do it again at the end, and I was like, okay, maybe don't do it again. Maybe don't do it a third time. Usually when they have these black and white characters in these comic books, it doesn't fit. Somehow it fits perfectly in this.
Yeah, it really does. It's interesting.
Yeah, we get a nod to the Donnie Does Machines.
Yeah,
that's great. I'm almost not a fan of Batman.
I kind of haven't been a fan of him the entire series.
He's too angsty.
Yeah, he really is. He always is.
But I know he is. But in this, it's just like, get it together, man.
Yeah, why you gotta cry so much?
I know you're sensitive and you miss your parents. Or it's not even to miss his parents. He just doesn't know what's going on. He's confused, torn between two worlds.
How do you feel about this other Batman? I think this is the Dark Knight Returns version. He's a little darker, a little thicker.
The one that's, so the turtles are captured by the anti-monitor Krang and this weird spire to merge the two universes together, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people read things like this and talk about how this doesn't make sense and all this. I never do that when it comes to stuff like this. That none of that matters. Like the ability to merge to, who cares? It's just jargon because it's not real. You know what I mean? So right. Yeah, sure. It doesn't matter how you're merging these two worlds together. I just need to know that they're merging them together. And I read it as Adam West Batman.
Well, yeah, I definitely
Super see Friends it as Batman.
I see it as a bit of both. The reason I thought more on that, because they came out around the same time.
Yeah.
The original Turtles and then.
I read it as Adam West, Super Friends Batman. He's had to be thick. I wish that he didn't. I know that Freddie Williams likes his thick characters. I wish they would have made him thin Super Friends. But that's how I read it as the, if he should have said, he should have said chum. Call somebody a chum and that would have solidified it.
Yeah.
I was waiting because he smiled so much. I think that's why I was like, yeah, he's old school Batman.
Yeah, I can see that.
Prang is one of those villains that it almost doesn't matter. We talk about throwaway villains earlier in this episode, and he's almost like that. He's just a villain that the Turtles have had experience with. His motivations are stupid. He wants to win, so he wants to rewrite history to win. Okay, we get it. It's more about the relationship between the Turtles and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid. I'm just looking at them fight these almost Power Ranger putty creatures, and it's almost like an endless army.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't see it. Maybe that's why I can see where you're coming from as the Dark Knight Batman, because we don't ever see Adam West really fight anybody, but this Batman is willing to take on this army by himself.
Yeah.
Of like holding a giant bomb and running away.
Right. Using some kind of repellent.
Yeah. Using some kind of anti-robot repellent. It's cool though. Like the splash page of, they're not splash page, but this page of them lined up, like ready to fight. Those are all cool moments. Stuff.
It's really cool because I don't know if, what is it, Eastman did that on top of the other art, but either way, if it's the other guy, then he does a good job at that brand of turtles.
Yeah, he does. If it is, yeah. And I can't tell either. I really can't. Either way, it's a good homage to it if it is him.
Yeah.
And the motivation between all of it, it's like, it's sort of, you just have to go with it. They have to get their memories back, and they essentially just have to interact with someone that has their memories awakened, and it tends to work out. That's fine. Krang is going to work with the Shredder of that universe, the Laughing Man, as he always, Krang always uses Shredder as his like man on the ground. All of that's fine. It's like constant tropes that we see. So I like it. One thing that I really, really, really liked about this issue is the retelling of the story of like this universe's Batman Ninja Turtle story, and how Joe Chill is there and robs the truck that has the mutagen on it and just barrel rolls Batman's parents.
Yeah.
Batman or Bruce Wayne is the Bruce Wayne is the kid that buys the turtles. And I just thought that was cool how they kind of wove all those together. I did not expect his parents to get straight run over like that, though.
Yeah, that was rough.
That was pretty rough. That is more graphic than them just getting shot in front of Bruce.
For sure, yeah.
And then I guess he falls into the manhole. But I can't help but think about, you know, Turtles in Time when you fall in a manhole and it's like, whoopsie, or whatever.
Who turned the lights out?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. One thing I thought was weird is that Batman, Bruce Wayne kid Bruce Wayne lands in the mutagen too, but he doesn't mutate.
Yeah.
Maybe that explains why he's just so massively big. It's like HGH for him. He's just a massive man. Because these characters are huge. All the people in this book are huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Kind of a funny part.
One thing I thought was weird is that they already wear their Domino mask or their, you know, their mask, and old school Raphael's like, if you guys are going to go back to how you originally are, you have to put on these masks. I'm like, we already wearing the mask of those colors.
Yeah.
They're not the original ones. Where did he get them from?
I don't know that. You remember that? Did you see that comic routine that I sent you where they're like, why did the Ninja Turtles wear bandanas? Like,
yeah.
Like, who's gonna be thinking, like, oh, who was that guy in the banana? Oh, fuck, it's a giant turtle. Like, when you take it off,
yeah,
who are you disguising yourself from?
Yeah, this one is just a setup.
You've now moved into issue 3, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
because we, yeah, I did. First
page. Yeah,
oops. So, let me read the intro for that. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles issue number 3, The Origin of Batman. Together with the origin of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the stories are familiar, but through the prism of this altered reality, clearly not the same. An uneasy feeling sets it. Frog in my throat, sorry. An uneasy feeling sets in that everything is not what it seems, but the Laughing Man pays a visit to a familiar Turtles ally to make sure this world stays exactly as Krang has remade it. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah. It is funny that they're so resistant to the Domino masks. They're like, no, it's like, it's the same.
You'll be all right. Yeah. Take off your do-rag, Donnie, and just put on the mask. Yeah. I think Raphael's the only one that really has like a Domino mask.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he's so attached to it, because he also wears the Red Hood mask too.
What do you think about seeing in action? What do you think about the turtle van slash?
Similar problems that I have with the, it looks cool, but a similar issue I had with the old Batmobile in the second one. It's kind of like this amorphous blob vehicle.
Yeah. Kind of bubbly looking.
Yeah. It looks cool. Like when it crashes through the gate, it looks really cool.
Yeah. The bat on it, I know it's supposed to be like an homage to the older Batmobile, but it definitely looks like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Why would he buy a van? Why would he have... Is he still rich?
He's still rich, right? Yeah, he lives in the sewers with them, but like...
But they have like crazy... Yeah, they still have a crazy technology in that Yeah, they have a blimp with a futuristic car attached to flying car. Like
I don't think he's Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? I don't think that Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne died. Yeah. As I think the story they're going with in this universe. Because Alfred is pissing in jars in Wayne Manor, and he's still there with his like teeth. You know, I just imagine he just looks like one of those old hillbillies.
Yeah.
I wondered why they didn't merge April and Barbara.
Yeah. There are some interesting choices there.
Yeah.
Like,
who she merged with? No one?
Why? Certain, like, why Casey Jones still exists, he's just like a cop, you know, like,
yeah,
it's, we didn't mention that earlier, but yeah, there are kind of weird choices.
Yeah, with Oroku Saki not being merged with the Joker still exists, and you know, Batman didn't merge with anybody, Batman's still there, so I guess you gotta have some of these characters still exist.
Yeah, maybe none of them really merged with anybody. They just take on characteristics of another.
Yeah, yeah. So character. Maybe Dick Grayson and all those characters are still alive in this world. But since Batman never became the traditional Batman, he didn't abduct all these children.
Yeah, he didn't. None of their parents had to die.
It's cool to see. Like, I think all the splash pages where they're leaping into action, perfect. Knocks it out of the park.
Really nice.
You can tell us where this is strong, his strong suit. A lot of convenience. April doesn't know the turtles, but Donnie grabs her wrist and then she instantly knows it. Fine. I get it. We only have 6 issues.
Remember.
But Bruce can't let it go. He wants to hang on to this reality of his family because I guess he doesn't remember that he has a bat family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the one, he's struggling with it more than anybody. He does remember Joe Chill murdering his family and all that stuff and the bat destroying his family, this giant bat destroying his family window. But yeah. Raph Prime gets zapped out of existence again, back to the Dimension X or wherever Krang's hanging out. I just assume it's Dimension X because that's where he lives. It looked like he was getting murdered, though, because when you see him getting zapped out, his skin's all bubbling and stuff.
Yeah, he kind of liquefies. That'd be crazy.
It would straight be crazy. And I'm just trying to make sure I didn't go into the next issue. But this one's still, I'm still into it, though. We're 3 issues in. I'm still into it more than I in the second volume. I was like, oh, what are we doing here?
Yeah, the second volume wasn't my favorite.
Bane's just getting bigger with every issue. That's what we're going to do. Everybody's scared of him because he's so big. Okay.
He can't reach his pee-pee no more. He just pisses himself.
He has a new tube that's just connected down there, a catheter. Oh, God. Raph was against Raph Prime. He was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going back to that. And then watching Raph Prime get liquefied, he's like, all right, maybe he was being for real. Yeah. Even though he was black and white, even though I've never seen him before, even though he's exactly like me, I don't trust that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But watching him get liquefied, maybe we should listen to him.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen to me.
The turtles are back in their original garb. Sure, they just took off their clothes essentially and put their belts on.
Took off the capes.
Yeah, put their belts on and they're ready to go. And Oroku Saki's just a dude just in his apartment, just kicking the shit out of punching bags. That's his life now. He's happy. Leave him alone, man.
Yeah. All right. Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 3, number 4. Confusing. Batman and the Turtles grapple with the laws of Krang's combined universe, desperate to return their two worlds to their original states. But there are some who do not want things set right. In this reality, the Laughing Man runs the Smile Clan, the most dangerous criminal organization ever to strike New Gotham City. And that's how he wants things to stay. He'll kill anyone who gets in his way, even the Shredder. First of all, it's crazy to see the Smiling Man just like abusing the shit out of his own people. I guess that's kind of normal for the Joker, but to have them just pinned up and he's throwing knives at him, that's pretty rough.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
Pretty violent. What did you think about, I don't remember if this is the costume that I think we ended a little early actually, because here's a splash page that says part 4. So whatever.
Yeah, we're in a second we'll just read the synopses.
It's fine. We're already at 4. We talked about 3, so it's only like 2 pages between 3 and 4. So I don't
And for five and six, parts five and six, there's only one page in between.
Yeah. So I guess the page is for the next issue, whatever.
Maybe it does it at the end for some reason.
That would make sense too.
Yeah. Okay. We're good.
Yeah, whatever. But so I don't remember if this is what the Shredder was wearing, but this is like the Shredder Goes to Hell look. What do you think about that costume? Or does it change? I don't know.
I don't remember what he was wearing in the last ones, but this is my favorite.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
My favorite. Everybody's just so beefy in this. And I don't have a problem with beefy men. Everybody is beefy. And I feel like Shredder's a character that doesn't have to be massive. You know, that's kind of the thing. And Batman is the same way. Like, they don't have to be these massive characters. Like, yes, Batman is pretty big in the Arkham games.
Yeah, they're all meatheads in that game.
But he doesn't have to be that big. I mean, the real thing is not about power for them. It's about their intelligence and how, you know, crafty they are. And Shredder, it's about his skill. So I think it looks great. They're just everybody's on roids.
What do you think about this Batman costume compared to the other one?
I'm back as Batman. It's boring.
I do like it more than the weird one that he had in the other two issues, though.
Yeah, like, it's boring. I just really like the Ninja Batman suit with like the spray painted bat. I really like that one.
That one was sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I really like that one. This one is safe. I don't know where he got it from, but
he got it from pissing in jars, Alfred. Man,
he just happened to have it with his giant size. This episode or this issue is just. We're building up. It's like a build-up issue where the forces are turning the tide.
Yeah.
Shredder's out there giving high fives to all the Ninja Foot Clan, and they're turning back into... He's like, ah, you. So Joker's losing his forces, or the Laughing Man losing his forces, and you know, screams at Krang, I thought you said I was going to take over the world. And that's when he gets his weird putty army. I guess that happens at the end. I don't mind the convenience of like the, oh, hey, here's your old stuff. Get your memories back. But it works. Yeah. It makes it. I can't think of another way to do it that wouldn't be convoluted when in this already convoluted story.
Yeah. Like with Casey Jones, that's pretty. I mean,
yeah. All right. Here's your duffel bag. You're actually an insane person that wears a hockey
bag. Yeah. Especially like in that cartoon.
Yeah. The old 80s ones. Where
he
goes undercover to get a job, and he's still wearing his hockey mask, but he has the sleeves ripped off, doesn't he? Do you remember which one I'm talking about? It's like going to get a job.
Yeah. They're making a figure of that.
Oh, that's one of my favorite episodes. So ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, he sounds like Clint Eastwood. That whole thing, and then but you read like. I was reading some of the older comics and he's just like a guy, you know, like they're hanging out when they're out of the city. That whole arc is pretty cool. Cause all the turtles are wearing like the trench coats and like suspenders and have Tommy guns and shit. Like that's cool.
Yeah. That is cool. I'll always love a good Goongala too. His weird catchphrase.
Oof, racist.
It just never makes sense to me that he's just this dude, but he sticks with fighting all these ninja and aliens and robots and stuff. Good for him.
He's just having fun, man.
Yeah, he's crazy. It's good to see Splinter outside of his butler wardrobe.
Yeah.
Golly.
Very odd.
Earlier, I forgot to mention, they went with the original Splinter story too of Orokusaki being owner of the pet. And they explain it better to me than like the movies did, where in the movies he was this already hyper sentient rat that was practicing martial arts.
Yeah, always made me laugh.
And then get mutated. And this, they explain it as like just him being around, his mind mutated to where he was subconsciously absorbing all of this information. I really appreciated that because I just don't like that version. I mean, I know it's the original version, but I like the 2013 one where Hamato Yoshi is Splinter. Mm-hmm. And he like, it's a mutated rat. I like that one so much. He's my favorite Splinter.
Wait, the 2013?
2020.
Yeah. Well, he's like that now, 87 too.
Yeah. Where he, that's the best opening scene where he transforms. Batman, He doesn't know why he hates the Joker, but he knows he has to get him back on his side. And they have to dump his ass in that Ace Chemicals, which we all knew it was going to happen when he did that.
Yeah, that's also, like, to me, that's so dark, too.
Yeah.
Like, all of it, his parents getting run over and then dunking him, like, it's sad.
It is sad. And Batman doesn't really understand what's going on because he didn't remember. He doesn't remember their history yet. Mm-hmm. And then he remember when Joker, spoiler alert, I think this might be the next issue. Or at least the reveal and then the issue ends. So we'll just do that. We'll read the next one. He becomes the Joker. Surprise. Like traditional classic annoying Joker.
Yeah.
I know everyone likes the Joker. He's everyone's favorite villain. I am just a little jokered out at this point in my life.
Yeah, same. He's just in everything. You know, I feel like Batman can't exist without the Joker. Everybody acts like they can't.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like yin and yang, but he has so many other bad guys.
Yeah. I feel like Joker can't exist without Batman. Like, to me, it's not interesting.
So Joker's here and he calls in the... these designs of creatures are fine.
The army. They're, like you said, it's kind of boring. It's whatever.
Yeah, safe. Easy to draw.
Right, yeah. I think that's really what it is. circles. Circles? Yeah, good.
And Joker, what's cool about this Joker, though, is that he has all of his memories of being the Laughing Man and all of his memories of being Joker, and he says it's enough to drive a man crazy. But luckily for him, he is already crazy. So now he has all these ninja skills and he's a Joker, which I wish they would just carry that over into the main universe, make him more formidable against Batman rather than this guy that can just get his ass kicked relentlessly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't punch a guy with glasses, would you? Still my favorite Joker line of all time.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, I'm going to read the synopsis for 5, right?
Yeah, go for it.
Did you read 4?
Yep.
Okay. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3-5, not 35. So don't get it confused.
It's a long-ass book.
They could not make... I would not read that if they stretched it out that much. Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles think they've figured out how to tear apart Krang's combined multiverse and restore their reality. But Krang has planned for this moment for years. With his robot army, he's ready to destroy them all. And if Batman can't remember the last missing piece of his life, there may be no hope left. Yeah, so that fits into what's going on. They're fighting the army, right? And Batman still is freaked. Yeah, like the synopsis mentions, he's still not, he doesn't have all his full memories back. He's clinging on to the turtles because he longs for this family dynamic. And Joker, as always, taunts him about the crowbar and the Bat family. And then he remembers the death of Jason Todd. It's not even Joker's fault. It's the fans' fault. You guys voted for that.
Yeah.
Sick you ass. Sick bastards. And so Batman, crying Batman, there's nothing wrong with being in touch with your emotions. This Batman is very in touch with his emotions. He's like, I can't, I have to, I'm leaving. I can't be here anymore. What are you? I'll always love Splinter and Shredder teaming up, man. They're just, you know, they're these prolific characters in the TMNT universe, and they really are yin and yang. And like their whole existence is against each other. And so seeing them fight is good. And I love the, you know, Shredder is like, why should I listen to you? And there's no real stoic sensei answer from Splinter. He says, listen, you and I are going to have our fight, but let's do it where we live, like our own terms. Our own universe. Like, why? We're not going to do it here in the middle of these robots. You know what I mean? Because it wouldn't be like a safe, oh, you only beat me because there was 1,000 robots around.
Yeah.
And watching him drop in all the Foot Clan on top of these robots, cool moment.
Yeah, it was very cool. Like you said, the splash page, like the action splash pages are the best parts to me.
Yeah. Anytime the turtles are jumping, perfect. It gets a little convoluted when the turtles go into Dimension X and they're trying to deactivate the machine, also save the turtles and save Batman. Gets a little convoluted, but it's also like, it's just space jargon multidimensional talk, it doesn't make sense. You can kind of skim through it. You know what I mean? You're not missing any real story beats.
Yeah.
Batman didn't run away because he was sad. He ran away because he remembered he had a family and he was calling them with a bat signal. That was cool. Even though they don't talk until afterwards, but they do all show up. We also get to see all the prime turtles interact with these turtles, which was cool.
Yeah, good moments.
Yeah, Mikey's going to be Mikey. Donnie's overanalyzing it.
And I've got to interject with that. Honestly, Mikey, I hate Michelangelo. I've gotten so tired of it.
And this or just overall?
Just in general. Don't really dig Michelangelo.
He's my least favorite turtle.
Yeah, in the 2013, sometimes he's funny.
I think he's great in that. I do think he's great in that.
I will genuinely chuckle from time to time.
I think he's great like that in that because he's like a teenager, doofus teenager, and I think that's why I like it.
But in almost everything else, I also listened to the last issue episode about that and as we were sitting there talking about Michelangelo and pizza and stuff, I was like, oh God, enough.
Yeah. And he does it in this too. At the beginning, he's with the hyenas and the pepperonis. He does do a lot in this. I love him in Secret of the Ooze and like those movies, but I feel like anything after that was like a exaggeration of that character.
Yeah.
Like they just beat it into our heads about how funny and unconventional he is. So yeah, I agree. But I don't know. Sometimes he's good. In the old one, I need to rewatch the 2003 animated series. I don't know if he's that bad in that one.
I don't think he's terrible.
Yeah.
But that one was pretty cool. Like, he's still a party dude. I think he could be something else.
The Last Ronin. He's almost too much in that, though. He's like too angsty in that. And there needs to be a happy medium.
Yeah.
The Bat Family gets together. The ultra Technodrome doesn't look as cool as a regular Technodrome.
It's just a circle with grubles.
Should have the eyeball on top of it, Ted.
Yeah.
So this is going exactly, it's predictable, right? The turtles are all working together. The Batman are about to work together. And I think it's cool. It's very fan servicey for me. Maybe not in general, but it works.
Well, I mean, I think that's why I prefer this one over the other two, is because it's so fan servicey. Like it's not catering to one or the other. It's catering to everyone.
Yeah. So the original Bat, at the end of this one, the original Bat Family shows up. We get this great page of Batman and his kids landing on Adam West and all eight turtles, and it's just a cool page. Like I would take the words out of that and everything. That would be a great poster.
Yeah, really nice.
I thought this was like the final page. I think I really don't know. They did a weird thing with the intros, but one of the Foot Clan are about to stab Joker, and I couldn't tell if this was just an error in the illustration or if it was like a fading sword, and it ended up being a fading sword. So that's that. I think we're on part six, though. So if you want to take it away with.
Yeah, I think what happens is it will usually close out with the card. And then two issues, like it'll get into the next issue and then it'll put the title card for that one, I guess.
Yeah.
So whatever. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 3, number 6. Krang has steered his ultra technodrome into the skies above the new earth he sought to conquer and rebuild in his own image. He thought the heroes of the worlds he'd conquered were down for the count, but now he faces two sets of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, two Batman, and a whole host of angry heroes looking to save their world once and for all. If Krang can't own the multiverse, then he will destroy it.
More fan service, and I mean that as a compliment. You get things like bat spray, where they spray his eye, they spray Krang's eyes. It's, you know, you get the turtles banter with each other about how Nightwing and Red Hood are actually an analog for Leo and Raph. I did think that conversation was a little rough. Like that doesn't even seem like a joking comment. I guess if someone came back to life, I guess it would be kind of funny, where he says, we're not natural fighting partners. And Jason Todd's like, yeah, I've almost killed you a few times. And then Dick Grayson says, hey, at least I survived being a Robin. And everyone's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah,
He was
whoa.
brutally murdered.
Yikes, yeah.
Oh, I was like, that's kind of out of context, but whatever. It's just cool to see all of these characters work together, even though they're essentially the same character just over and over.
Yeah.
And the Turtle Primes, they look the best still.
I agree.
I don't have any problem with, I think, Freddie Williams the second. I think his strong suit is drawing the turtles out of all of these books. But if he's drawing these Laird and Eastman turtles, he should do a whole book in that style, because I think it would be really good.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. And I think it's because his line work is strong, but the coloring usually kind of, for me, kind of ruins his illustrations in a lot of.
Yeah, how it's kind of like marker.
So maybe that's why they look the best.
Yeah.
Because it's monochromatic. But to me, they look better than the other turtles that he's drawing. So,
yeah, I agree.
Know.
With all the characters need to be in an area that exists on their own world. The turtles and all the heroes succeed in separating them, but now they need to make sure they're in the right place or they're going to get split in half or end up in the wrong place without a way to get home.
Yeah.
And it's just cool. Like the last scene we see with the turtles prime leaving looks great. Like, I really can't get over how great they look. Simple, monochromatic. I mean, it just, they look great.
Yeah.
And this just looked like Super Friends. The original Batman's going back in time. And I think in this picture right here is why I think he's Super Friends Batman, because he's smiling like a dummy.
Yeah. I can see it. And saluting like a dummy. You're not in the military.
And you think it's going to end, but then you get this weird moment where Krang, I guess, throws up on the turtles and Batman, and he starts mutating into this crazy looking creature that I honestly think they should make an action figure of.
I don't know. Yeah, it was weird. It was cool. It's an interesting moment. The bat signal with the turtle shell is cool. I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to get that tattooed on my chest.
Yeah, your favorite.
My favorite. Yeah, this is my favorite Batman. Right here. The mutated Batman turtle monster. It doesn't work, though, because they have the power of realization and love and friendship. And they beat him. Apparently, they just needed to put bad bombs in his stomach and they explode his ass.
Yeah.
Kaboom. The good guys win. I do like the way that Splinter looks in these.
Yeah, me too.
Like, his face is illustrated really well. This is the end. And the heroes are back in Gotham. Our heroes in the half-shell are back in New York. And Batman's going to give his team the night off with a stack of pizza.
Yeah, I hate it. No.
When I read that, I laughed because I was like, I know someone's going to hate that.
I mean, it's all good. It's just, you can't have Batman broody all the time. And then he's like, and then we're going to get some pizzas.
Yeah. He's over here breaking down all these things they have to do to fix the incursions and stuff. And he's like, don't worry, we're staying in tonight with a stack of pizza. Instead of being like, Jesus Christ, my entire life, I still have the memories from that life. All we ate is pizza. That's the last thing I want.
Yeah, man. Pizza. How do you stay so thin? Why do you stay so beefed up?
Well, that's why Batman's so big. He's on that pizza diet.
So, yeah, he has to work out twice as much to stave off the heart attacks.
And that's the end of this beautiful trilogy. The opposite effect of the original trilogy movies, in my opinion, because this, to me, is the strongest out of the three.
I agree.
It leans more into, like, the silly of both franchises.
Well, yeah, definitely the fun parts of it.
And
it doesn't, having the combination and plus the multiversal thing is neat, but having the combination rather than favoring one side or the other, I think is rather than, what if one of Batman's villains was in New York? It's like, who cares about that? They're the same. It's just a different city.
How do you feel, Sam?
I think
third volume.
Yeah, I think, you know, like we were saying, this I really enjoyed reading this one. Art style aside, which I'm still not a fan of, I still enjoyed this volume.
Yeah, not my favorite art style at all, but I will say, man, bonus points in this one because of the, if it's him, the homage to, and I can't say slight improvement without offending someone that loves that Eastman art style, but I just think it looks, it's the perfect blend of both eras, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, Batman TMNT 1-3. What do you think about this journey we just went on this month?
I mean, it's fun. It's good. Yeah. It's good. If you're a fan of both properties, I think you'll find something to enjoy.
Yeah.
In these. I just, as a, you know, when we were doing reviews, it's kind of like, okay, you have to read these books.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have picked these up on my own. I don't know if I would have got to the third one.
Yeah. And you've never seen the animated movie, right?
Right. I've seen parts.
We should watch it and do like audio commentary, like in January or something, as like a welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that'll just be kind of funny because I've only seen it once and I don't really remember it. You know, I think it's just the first, like based off the first book. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Overall,
yeah.
If you're a hardcore Batman fan, I'm not a super Batman fan, right? So maybe that's why it doesn't speak to me like that. I am a huge Ninja Turtle. It's got to be my favorite comic book property. So that's what keeps me in it.
I think that Batman in series like this, where they're pulling in all the villains and stuff like that, isn't as strong as like a regular Batman story where there's like one focus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the whole story is based off of his interaction with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Even something like Hush, like that, I really like that book, but the main focus is Hush, not like these other characters are brought in, but they're all side characters.
Yeah. And the Bat family in this, not that I think they needed it, but they were there and they just really didn't talk until these last couple of pages. They're just kind of like in the background.
Yeah.
It's fine. It was fine. Let's grade this thing before I say it's fine 15 more times.
Yeah. I forgot about this. I forgot about the grading system.
Yeah, man. We're back.
I was sitting there thinking like, how do we end these?
How do I get out of here?
Oh, jeez. Leave. I just hit leave.
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to grade it volume 3, and then I want to get a grade of the entire thing.
Okay.
There's an omnibus that before reading them all I wanted to get because it's like a Batman Ninja Turtles, and now I'm like, I don't know if I need it.
Okay, I'll go first. I think volume three I'm gonna give like an A4. Like, to me, that's pretty good. I think I really enjoyed this one way more than the others. The art style really has taken a lot from me. Like, I got tired of looking at it.
I can see that.
Yeah. But otherwise, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because there's another book that's like a Injustice crossover with He-Man. That is done by Freddie Williams. And I couldn't get past the first. And this is no slight against him, you know. I think it's okay to not every art style not be for everybody. You know, I know people that don't like Frank Quiley, and I love.
Yeah, same.
Literally everything like he does.
Yeah.
You know, so everything can't be for everybody. And if you like Freddie Williams' art, I think he's talented, obviously talented. You know what I mean? He's done major books. Just not my favorite art style.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, I know what I'm going to grade the entire thing, but let's see. With this one, along the same vein of what you said, I'm going to go C4. And it's a little bit more toasted because you get double the turtles in this one. And I'm a huge sucker for those four mutated bros from New York. Especially watching, like, that. Just watching Raph beat the shit out of all of them and Batman, I was like, that's worth the price of admission right there. It was great.
Yeah, that was, that was a cool moment. For sure.
Do you want to go first for the main one, or do you want me to go because I got it already?
Yeah, go ahead. You go first.
I'm going to go with I3, right? Overall, it was fine, you know? But where that little burnt to the maximum crisp is, that was the first bite I took rather than it being the last one. So I worked my way backwards on this one, and it got better towards the end. Like, oh, this is actually decent toast once I get all this out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I'm very much the same. Like F4. Like, it wasn't toasted the first time, so they put it back in, and then it got a little bit too burnt.
Yeah. Yeah, squished down in the wrong corner.
Yeah, but the opposite. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's so much. This last collection is so much better than the first two, in my opinion. So,
I would have liked to see this expand in like a dream situation. It starts out like this, right? Yeah. And then we do maybe the Joker is in this one, and then the next volume we do another amalgamated villain, Mr. Freeze, and I don't know.
It could have. It also could have been interesting if they do this first, and then they have to chase. They like chase the major villain to another world, whether New York or Gotham.
Or Shredder betrays them in the second one, because to be honest, in all three of these, he's the hero. He saves them every time. So where's that at? Where's the villain Shredder at?
I don't know.
It's pretty good. It's good to be back. It's good to be recording this again. We're going to take a... It's going to be interesting these next couple of weeks. I'll talk to Simon about that off air, but we're circling the drain. Simon, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and most socials as Sime_on_toast.
Have you ever thought about changing that to Simon Toys?
Yeah, I have a Simon Toys. I didn't.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't use it. I just deleted it. Yeah.
That makes sense. And we are Wednesday Pool everywhere else. So just if you type that in, I'm sure we'll pop up. That's not like a braggy thing. It doesn't make sense for it to be anything else.
Yeah, right. Everybody's like, what's that mean?
Yeah. So Wednesday Pool everywhere else. Check us out. Hit us up. And if you have any recommendations or things that you want us to read in 2024, let us know. We'll be happy to do it. A lot of times we're struggling to figure out what to read, so help us out.
Yeah. If you want to feel validated in your hate or love, let us know.
Yeah, and we'll shout you out and let you know how much we hated it. All right, guys. We'll see you in the new year. Adios.
Bye.